D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look at a critically important question. Can religious liberty survive in America?
Continuing efforts are being made by atheistic organizations to remove every vestige of Christianity from the public life of America.
Can a resident be evicted from a veteran's home for sharing the gospel?
People do not shed their First Amendment religious freedom rights simply because they attend a public school, because they work for the government, or in this case, because they're living in a veteran's home.
What is at stake when a widow faces eviction from a veteran's home because she shares her Christian faith? Join us on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. And that is necessary because truth and freedom are under relentless attack in our day. In this key 2020 election year, we are focusing on some of the great moral, ethical, and cultural questions that confront us. Religious liberty stands at the very front of the line as the first, most fundamental freedom guaranteed in America's Bill of Rights. But the forces of secularism are working to marginalize Christians because biblical truth is an impediment to their radical leftist agenda. On today's program, you will discover how egregiously the First Amendment is being ignored. And we'll share some key resources available only through this ministry that will help you stand fast in this pivotal election year. We begin with the story of an 84-year-old widow and veteran who faced the possibility of eviction from her California veteran's home. Why? Simply for sharing the gospel with some of her neighbors. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Religious liberty, I think, is almost public enemy number one for a great many segments of our society. And that's tragic because this country was founded on the premise that people should enjoy the fullest degree of religious liberty.
Where we are today in America compared to our founding in terms of religious freedom is, it's not quite night and day, but it's getting there. And by that I mean, increasingly, people aren't allowed to live out their faith. It's basically, that's what you do in your private life. But once you come out to the public square, we don't want you to talk about that, and we certainly don't want you to act on it.
There's no question that the assault against religious liberty right now is at historic proportions. I think one of the big tasks that we have is to be able to translate to the average person who's busy maintaining a job and a family and paying taxes and doing all the great things that build a great constitutional republic in their own community. They need to wake up to the fact that these hostilities against religious liberties are worse than ever, and they're more sophisticated.
People do not shed their First Amendment religious freedom rights simply because they attend a public school, because they work for the government, or in this case, because they're living in a veteran's home.
An example of the assault on religious liberty in our time centers around 84-year-old Artis Bro of California, who is in trouble with her veteran's nursing home. She may even face eviction. Why? For leading Bible studies voluntarily with other residents.
Well, I have a passion, I guess, to share with those who don't know the Lord because somebody loved me enough to share with me.
She's a woman who is 84 years old, and she is a veteran. She was working for the Army Pentagon during the Korean War. Her husband fought in both World War II and the Korean War. He's passed away. But she is living in a California veteran's home, and she was also a chaplain. She loves Jesus. She was a Messianic Jew, if you will. She's a a Christian convert from Judaism. She loves the Lord. She was doing a Bible study as a chaplain. Everything was going great, committed, running the race to the end, until the government got involved. See, someone complained that they didn't agree with her. He claimed emotional abuse, elder abuse from her.
It says God has given us eternal life.
The California Department of Veterans Affairs, CalVet, received a complaint from a male resident who attended one of Artis's Bible studies at the Veterans Home of California, north of San Francisco.
Because he, in their discussion, he didn't like what she said about eternal life and how to get to heaven and not going to heaven. And so he complained, and because of that complaint, she was removed as a chaplain. But it gets worse. She continued having a voluntary Bible study with people there in the home who wanted to study the Bible. They served our country. They wanted to study the Bible with her. And she was told that she had to stop the Bible study or she would be booted out of the home in the streets.
I do believe that God is going to be just.
Ah, that's hard to believe.
Well,
apparently they want chaplains that are just talk about the lilies of the field, but not talk about the real hope of Christianity and the hope that we have in Christ. Now we're dealing with someone who just simply wants to have a Bible study. She says, fine, okay, you don't want me as a chaplain anymore? I just want to visit with fellow Christians here in the home who want to meet with me and go through the Word. She loves Jesus. She loves the Word. And they said, no, you can't do that either. And it's like they have something against people who want to really share the real living hope that is within them, as opposed to something that just sort of sounds generic and feels good, but it really is not transformational. And that's what these people in the Bible study want.
She's a very good teacher. She teaches the Word of God.
She's a wonderful, loving person who can't help but share the hope of Christ with those who would like to share with her and to study the Word with her. They're violating the constitutional rights of this wonderful veteran.
Artis complied with the CalVet's mandate that she cease and desist leading the Bible studies lest she be evicted. And so her Bible study was stopped for 2 months. And then the Pacific Justice Institute was able to get permission for the Bible studies to resume.
Now, some people think that because it's a government veterans nursing home, that anything the government touches must be anti-religious, must sterilize that ugly bacteria called faith from the public square, from anything the government is involved in. And that's not true at all.
This case is ironic in many ways, not the least of which is that here is a veteran of many years, having served and sacrificed for our country to keep us free. And she's the widow of a veteran who's also distinguished himself in service to our country. And now, in the twilight of her years, she faces eviction for leading Bible studies in a nation founded for the purpose of religious freedom.
She can't take care of herself. She's been living a life of sacrifice, her and her husband. And the idea and the thought that someone who sacrificed so much for our freedom and liberty could have theirs so easily taken from them by the government is appalling.
Thankfully, due to the vigilance of Brad Dacus and the Pacific Justice Institute, the state of California has backed down, for now at least, and Artis Bro has resumed teaching her Bible study. But as cases like this multiply day by day, it's important for us to see what's driving these issues. We are far from President George Washington's declaration that religion and morality are necessary supports for our democracy. Instead, a militant secularism insists that Christianity is harmful and must be suppressed. It's part of a plan to separate the American people from God that was set in motion a long time ago by the radical left. Dr. D. James Kennedy shines the light of truth in this portion of his classic message, Church and State.
One of the issues which most troubles and perplexes the national life today is the issue of church and state. All manner of opinions have been set forth. What indeed is to be the relationship of church and state in this country? We are all aware of the fact that the First Amendment declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, what exactly does that mean? Today, we have been moving in a direction which attempts to say that that means that religion is to have no part in the national life of this country. In fact, I remember a well-known commentator saying to me on a national broadcast that this was to be a secular government, though he said there may have been some Christian people involved in its founding. They created a secular government. And this attitude is repeated by countless numbers of others today, that God cannot even be mentioned in the public sphere of our national life today, that the scriptures and prayer have been removed from our schools, and continuing efforts are being made by atheistic organizations to remove every vestige of Christianity from the public life of America. Is this indeed supposed to be a secular nation? In the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, we read this, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights." Created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable, or as they said, unalienable rights. You notice, my friends, that it declares that they were created equal. It does not say that they emerged from the primordial slime equally. It does not say that they evolved equally, but it says that they were created equal. Now, it is vitally important for us to realize that the very foundation of America was built upon the concept that we had been created by God and given by God certain inalienable rights, and that governments were instituted merely to protect those rights which came from God. Now, if we get rid of the concept of inalienable rights given by God, then we lose the very foundation of our liberties which were established in the Declaration. And that is why that the evolutionary teaching of our time is so dangerous to the basic liberties that we enjoy. Do you not see that if man has not been created by God, if rather he merely evolved by some concatenation of amino acids and molecules in an ancient sea, then he has no inalienable rights. The only rights which he has are those rights which government may see fit to grant unto him, and those rights which are granted by government may be withdrawn at their pleasure. And that is precisely the situation that exists in every atheistic, communistic nation in the world today. My friends, without a belief in a creator, there are no absolute and inalienable rights. Therefore, every school classroom which is undermining the concept of creation is indeed undermining the basis of our liberties and our rights. Is it not ironic, if not tragic, that in a nation brought into existence by the Declaration of Independence, that in this very nation, in its public schools, that we cannot even teach students that they were created at all? I should think that it would be illegal, with the present understanding of things, even to read the Declaration of Independence in our public schools. If they were consistent, it would be. But the obvious ludicrousness of such a position keeps them from going to that extreme. And the Declaration of Independence makes further reference to God in its concluding statements, where it says, quote, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Those that gave us this nation did so as they cast their very lives upon the protection of divine providence." Today, there are those who would say that it is illegal in our schools even to mention such a thing as divine providence. In 1929, the communists issued a protocol. And in that protocol, which described various ways in which they were to bring about the destruction of America, they said that the concept of separation of church and state should be pushed to the extremist position, that all religion should be removed as the underpinning for government of this nation, in order that eventually, having grown weak and flabby and convictionless and fearful, this government might fall. Indeed, we have come a long way along that path. And there are organizations today of atheists and other unbelievers and separatists who would try to do exactly what the communists ordered in that protocol, to get rid of every vestige of religion, to push the idea of the separation of church and state, which of course is not found in the Constitution. That was taken from a private letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists in 1802, which was 11 years after the First Amendment was passed, and it does not represent accurately what the First Amendment says. And therefore, they want to push this to the extreme position and get rid of all of the Christian and religious foundations of this country. I am sure that if the people for the American way, so-called, were the ones who were founding this country today, that not one single such sentiment as all of these dozens or scores that I have mentioned to you today would be found in our national heritage. And yet these people do not, let me say it again, do not represent the American way. They represent a total departure from the historic American way, clearly indicated by all of the documents and evenly officially stated by the Supreme Court of this land. Let us not be deceived any further by them. I believe that the time is long past for Christians to stand on their feet and say, thus far and no farther. We have had enough with this. We can no longer allow such movements as these to reduce this godly nation to a secularist, atheistic, humanistic state where ultimate freedoms and rights are reduced to nothing more than the whim of the government to either grant or to withdraw. God grant that we have not become so weak, so vacillating, and so fearful that we do not have the courage to take a stand for God and this nation's freedoms and our religious liberty and the truth. God grant us the courage to take a stand while we still have a place to stand.
As Dr. Kennedy just explained, atheism and a purely secularized government have been part of the leftist agenda for centuries. The Soviet Union fell in 1991, which many believed to be the end of communism. Yet the effort to destroy America by secularizing it continues to gain steam, and the ideas that brought ruin to the USSR, Cuba, Venezuela, and so many other socialist dystopias are recycled today by mainstream political candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. That's why it's essential for you and everyone in your sphere of influence to see clearly this year. And we have a brand new book to share with you that I think is the most important thing you will read during this election year. Written exclusively for this ministry by Robert Knight, it's The Coming Communist Wave. What happens if the left captures all three branches of government? Make no mistake, socialism is on the ballot in 2020 at every level. This powerful book looks at how the socialist agenda of the left is radically at odds with biblical truth and American liberty. Featuring chapters on the rise of fake news, socialism versus the Ten Commandments, sexual anarchy as the tip of the communist spear, and much more. This book needs to be read and widely shared this election year. It also includes a plan for action for all of those who want to preserve a free nation moving forward. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us continue the ongoing work of this ministry. It's not at Amazon or at your local bookstore. It's only available by contacting us. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will thank you by sending you the book plus the brand new DVD special, Freedom at Risk, The Left's Attack on Religious Liberty. This DVD program exposes numerous facets of the effort to secularize America and to squelch Christianity. It features the artist Bro story you saw earlier in this program, plus eye-opening documentary features on the attack on religious freedom in the U.S. Senate, a school raided by police for not agreeing to the LGBT agenda, and much, much more. Be equipped for what we Christians are up against, and be prepared to be counted on in November at the polls. These exclusive resources will help you do that and will also help us produce vital television programs, documentary features, books, and internet content exposing the designs of Karl Marx's modern protégés, and to proclaim the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ far and wide. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. 12 years ago, Barack Obama ran for president promising to fundamentally transform America. Now, in the 2020 election year, his aspiring successors on the left are calling for revolution, not transformation. They propose a Green New Deal that would put the federal government in charge of almost every remaining part of our lives. A state-run medical program that would give government control of all of our health care. For the elimination of the Electoral College, since it hasn't given them the results they want. The reason for this is simple. It's because they are totalitarians at heart. Totalitarianism, as Merriam-Webster tells us, is centralized control by an autocratic leader or hierarchy. In America today, the dominant left wing in politics wants the federal government to control your health care, your children's education, the kind of car you drive, the temperature of your house, the amount of water you're allowed to use, and an endless number of other aspects of daily life. And that's why religious liberty has become such a key issue. The greatest obstacle to their totalitarian agenda is Christianity, which is the greatest liberating force the world has ever known. It's no coincidence that in totalitarian societies, Christian churches are among the first victims of crackdowns. This is because where the gospel reigns, the state cannot be God. And this is the idolatrous premise underlying all of totalitarianism. From Soviet Russia to modern-day China, the church is a threat, and it's no different now. In China, Pastor Wang Yi has been sentenced to 9 years in prison for, quote, inciting subversion of state power. And here in America, the Obama administration targeted outspoken Christian groups for IRS punishment. And today, some who refuse to bow the knee to immoral state edicts on marriage and gender are already being hauled in front of tribunals. Wherever Christians are seen as a threat to be silenced and brought to heel, you can be quite confident that totalitarians are at work. Something to remember as we approach the polls in November. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Before the state, before the church, God created the oldest institution on this planet, and that is the institution of marriage.
XX chromosomes, XY chromosomes, these have been what make men men and women women. And we're now punishing people in medicine and in science for acknowledging those scientific truths, not just religious truths, but scientific truths.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.